Thanks to the folks at Racetech, by the way, for coming on board this podcast. Tell them you listen to Pulp. Save with the folks at Racetech. Get some suspension work done. Get motor work done. Get the right springs for your weight and or speed. Racetech.com. Authorized service centers all across America. Tell them you listen to Pulp. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing RacerX Podcast, Foxborough Review. What a disaster of a race. Not a lot to get into when it comes to something like that, but we do a pretty good job. Myself, Jason Thomas, Jason Wygant here. Pulp MX code to save direct from the folks at Fly Racing. Cooper Webb added to his points lead. RJ Hampshire imitated a jet ski. Chance Hymus won with Fly Racing. And use the code PulpMX when you're checking out at flyracing.com directly, whether it's a Formula helmet, whether it's the Evo Gear Kinetic. Kinetic Mesh is out now. The Kinetic Mesh is some of my favorite stuff, man. It is so lightweight, so breathable. Got the BOA closure system on it as well. Use the code PulpMX direct from Fly and save anything across the board with those guys. Thank you to them for coming on the show. And Renthal as well. Renthal chains, great. I put one on my Yamaha YZ450. Sprockets, of course. 7/8 bar for the vintage dudes. Fat bar 36. Twin wall bar. They've got you all covered with handlebars. Factory KTM, factory Honda, factory Kawasaki, all using the Renthal products. Mountain bike parts are now available. Power sports dealers nationwide. Carbon bars, aluminum bars. Also, their lock-on grip is doing really, really well for these guys. Renthal is super proud of it. Brought it out in December, and no modifications needed to your handlebar for any bar to put on a set of Renthal lock-on grips. They're available in all of their patterns and all of their compounds. Renthal.com for more information on that. Really cool website as well. Very informative. Thank you to folks at Maxxis Tires. Logan Leitzel using Maxxis Tires to get top 10 in the 450 main event. Good job, Logan. Probably used the Maxxis scoop out there. A gift from the science nerds to the moto gods like yourself. Maxxis.com for more information. Great mountain bike tires. And if you haven't thought about Maxxis for a high-end motocross tire in a while, well, it's time to start thinking about Maxxis. And obviously, like I said, their mountain bike tires are great, right? So thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires. Motorsport.com will tell you more about later on in the show. But here's JT, Weege, and I talking Foxborough and more. All right, everybody, let's talk some Foxborough Supercross with the two gentlemen that were there this weekend. Unfortunately, I was not, or maybe fortunately, but Fly Racing RacerX podcast. First up, he was the floor announcer there in Foxborough, and he's usually the voice of GNCC and the voice of ATV Motocross and the voice of Supercross and the voice of Motocross, but he was the voice for the fans on Saturday night. The Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, great race. Couldn't really have been any better. You really blew it by not going. It was everything you could have asked for and more. It was awesome. And later on, I'll get into those GNCC routes as well. They really paid off on the podium with the race winner. But it's not about me. It's about people that don't go to spectacular events like this.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely...
It's so good.
I've definitely felt like I missed out. I mean, when I was...
FOMO?
Yeah, when I was sitting on the couch, I was like, man, do I wish I was there. One practice session, and let's go racing. Cut down the mains a couple times. But also on the line from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, home of the 450 Supercross points leader, Cooper Webb. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
Not much. I agree with Weege's sentiment. For what your day consists of, like just like hanging out, growing down, eating at factory trucks, sitting in the press box, like you missed out. I actually had a good time. I mean, I wouldn't have won a ride track, even walking out onto the racetrack was more than I signed up for. But I think you would have enjoyed it.
The checks will cash next week, guys. Keep it up. It's fantastic. Great to hear you both.
No, I'm not saying
towing the company line.
I don't think it was fantastic for experience for people sitting in the stands. I'm talking about your experience. Like, your experience is not the average person going to a race experience.
Yeah, it's worse.
Oh my God, you're
new. Yeah, I'm working. I'm grinding it out.
Working. Grinding it out.
Oh my gosh.
Hanging out with friends, having combos, and occasionally having some food. That's basically your day.
No, yeah. Man, it's more than that. I mean, that's some of it for sure, but it's a lot more than that.
No, it's not.
Let's move on, though.
I feel for the fans. It was an A-plus experience for the fans.
Did it ever stop raining? Like, did it ever? Like, I know it started, like in practice or whatever, and, like, so it did stop?
It did stop for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't matter. Like, you know, it's funny. So I was talking to Will, who is, you know, my counterpart down there, and trying to explain mud, because she's like, well, it stopped raining. And I'm like, it's actually worse.
Yeah.
Like, the rain stopping, because now it's just going to get thicker and stickier, and that's actually bad. Like, it would be better if it would continue to rain and be, like, more water-based.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a mess. Like, unless you've ridden it and gone through those cycles, you don't really get it. And she's like, what are you – and I'm like, you just have to understand, like, the dirt is now changing form. It's, like, tacking up, yeah, which is horrific for these guys trying to ride on it. It did stop a little while.
You could explain it to her like the movie The Thing, where it kind of – now it's – the rain has stopped, and now it becomes, like, a shape-shifting, and now it's going to grab you and become you. It's going to be one with you instead of around you.
I get that reference. I don't think she would have gotten that reference, but I do understand what you're saying.
Weege, I got a few photos from – a certain gentleman who used to wear number 10. Oh. I got a few photos in some group texts of you climbing in the stands.
Yeah, I actually went to Doc Bodner. I have to interview Doc Bodner, you know, during opening ceremonies. And I said when I was done, I was like, hey, do me a favor. I'm probably going to break my leg on that ladder over there in about an hour. So just be ready. Because it's weird, these NFL stadiums. I mean, there is literally no way to go from the stands to the floor. I guess that's to prevent rabbit fans from doing it. So you got to use a ladder. And I'm like, at some point, is this going to be raining? JT, it did eventually stop, maybe at the worst time, except for the podiums. At least we weren't doing podiums in the rain. But, I was climbing the ladder in hellacious rain. But in the end, fans are over there. Fans are out there. And then I know there's the chorus of, why don't we do these in dome stadiums, which was my rant last week. It really gets me mad when fans say that. I'm like, this is Supercross. This is what we've seen for 50 years. Like, why now are we not allowed to have mud races anymore? And to that point, these are all NFL stadiums. They fill these stadiums every weekend. Rain, shine, hail, snow. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's New England.
And I mean, somebody...
apparently, it's physically possible.
Someone on social media was going at me for this race being a mudder, and I'm like, yeah, but the other races have had good weather there. Like, this was the first mudder in Foxborough.
We've had fantastic weather there before.
Right. Like, it doesn't just because it's open air doesn't mean it's going to be automatically be a rain mudder, but this one was bad.
I want someone to plot the chart. Where are these domes? Where are these domes?
Well, to be fair, Weege, a couple years ago I did this exercise in either in a show or a group text or something. And we lost 5 domes that we used to have. You know, so if you look at it that way, like, you know.
But like one of them, I'm assuming, is the Georgia Dome, which doesn't exist anymore.
Well, whatever. Mercedes, there's a new football stadium. But Minneapolis, Georgia, St. Louis at the time.
Well, we have St. Louis back.
There was something else. Anyways, 4 to 5 domes that we used to go to all the time. All the time, and now we don't go to for whatever reasons or what, you know. So we have more open air.
Should be back.
Yeah.
Minneapolis should be back.
Yeah, agree. I'm personally good with the open air. I just think the 4 in the New England area is a tough go. Like, if you tell me we're in the Citrus Bowl, which is now Camping World Stadium in Orlando, like those, you know, Jacksonville, no problem. Like, weather's probably going to be fine. But New England, the Northeast, in the spring, we're rolling the dice every Saturday.
Yeah, I think one of them was the Kingdom, and that one's gone. I'm just trying to think of what I was doing back then.
What I'm saying. Like, I don't think there's a choice. The Mercedes-Benz, they tried it.
New Orleans.
It's just
Oh, New Orleans.
Yeah,
there was one.
No,
listen. I'm not saying go to all the domes. I'm just saying just by the natural happenstance of the dates and stadium availability and all the things that Feld goes through, we've lost 4 to 5 domes that we normally used to go to.
I think Houston is a big miss. Like,
Houston?
I know attendance wasn't great, but Houston's a big one. Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm not saying Feld is.
Houston and New Orleans, that's possible.
I'm not saying Feld is like.
Yeah.
Feld is not saying, like, no more domes. Like, they are trying and they're looking at markets and all of that. Like, it all blends into it. Like, we could go back to Houston or New Orleans or whatever. But, yeah, it is just one of those things. We should have a few more domes than what we do. But, whatever.
I don't think that anybody on the planning side, logistics side, looked at this 4-race northeast swing in the spring and said, this is exactly what we need.
No.
I don't think that's how this went about.
No, for sure. It's going to be – we might have another one this weekend. Like, who knows? Weather's weird, but it doesn't look good, at least yesterday, for this weekend in Philly. But, hey, whatever.
It just got me thinking. The new stadium in Atlanta, which they did once or twice, and Allegiant there in Vegas are probably the two biggest – misses, you know, if we had those two races, if Atlanta Supercross was back and Vegas Supercross was back, not SMX, but a real Supercross, that would be huge. But these are two newer stadiums and they basically don't want it. So I just get mad when people go on rants and I'm like, yeah, but you can't just, you know what? It's like the All-Star game when people are like, this guy got snubbed. And I'm like, well, tell me the player who should be removed from the All-Star roster to put this player on it. Like, it's a lot more complicated than just ranting. So maybe we got some answers. New Orleans, Minneapolis. I don't know what else.
Houston
is good.
I get asked this a lot. It's like, why can't we get these venues? And I always think about, I haven't specifically asked this, but just using common sense, the time we need a venue versus like a concert is significantly more, right? Like a concert, they're probably in and out, I don't know, 36 hours. 48 at the most, you know, even if they're doing two shows, like 72, like we have a stadium for like a week, you know? So it's so much more difficult for our sport to get venue availability because we're simply there for a lot longer.
Yeah. And listen,
I think these newer stadiums are nicer than the 70s stadiums that we grew up with, right? Like Sam Boyd Stadium versus Allegiant is just not even comparable.
No.
And they're just like, no, you're not bringing dirt in this brand-new billion-dollar building. You're just not going to bring dirt in. Sorry.
Well, that was why we couldn't go to Foxborough for years. I was told that Mr. Kraft just was like, no, I don't want all that here. I don't want all the dirt here.
There's a lot more money in these sporting whatever. A guy like Robert Kraft is probably different than the county government who probably owned the old stadium and was like, yeah, we don't care. Pay us some money and you're good. Like now it's billionaires doing billionaire things and half of them are probably like, I don't care if you give me $1 million. I don't want it and I'm a billionaire, so I don't care.
It does also like look, we've had this debate on here a lot about like, oh, it's gonna be a mutter and then it's not and it's fine. And like it just happened that Foxborough was the worst conditions, you know, that we had, and we've had many really good races back east and in open air stadiums, and it just happens. It's not like any big deal, but anyways, it was an all-timer. Do any of you guys know why the mains got cut twice? Like the ones I get 5 minutes, they lopped 5 minutes off, and that was predictable and to be expected, and then halfway through the broadcast they're like, yeah, we're taking another 2 minutes off. Anybody know why?
I think it was just bike reliability stuff. Like I think so many people are getting stuck, and I know you're limited to what you can see, you know, as far as like the peripheral and the whole, there were so many people just stuck in the racetrack.
Yeah.
Like for the whole race, like people are just everywhere. So I think they're like, you know what, we're going to lose championship contenders. Something really bad series wise is going to happen if we let this go much longer. So I didn't ask anybody, but I'm guessing it was just like, we don't think the bike's going to make it.
Maybe. It was definitely weird. Like one
screws up the timing of everything, too, because I know the 450 LCQ, it was supposed to start, and then it just didn't. And I was like, why? What is going on? And they're like, oh, there's still a bike on the track.
Yeah.
So I think
I did a
you're probably adding – oh, there you go. I bet you're adding – I'm just going to make a guess here – 4 to 6 minutes per race with bike stuck times two heats, two LCQs. Next thing you know, you're a half hour late.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about dancing around that Weege and how was that as a live guy and everything else. Because, yeah, we had some moments where nothing was happening, you know. So I don't know if you were running around trying to, like, get people to buy tickets for Monster Jam, or how'd that go?
I did still have to do that. I don't actually think it affects the live show as much as the TV show. The TV show is much more to the second of commercials and things like that. Really, I think it was maybe played a little more music at some point. I didn't really notice, except for that one delay before the 450 LCQ, and they're like, oh, there's still bikes stuck from the 250s. We can't start the race. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the end, like, well, and we'll get to the race, obviously, but, like, it was kind of played out, you know. It wasn't a disaster for anybody of the main players. Like, you know, it was.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, I guess. I was thinking more 450s. I guess some of the bikes I heard really were close to not making it by the finish, so maybe the shortened main helped. And then lots of debate, I guess, kind of on group text today about, so Sexton got docked in the heat race for jumping on a red cross, and then in the main there was talk, like, Lewis and Kellen were saying, like, almost for sure Webb's going to get docked. Like, I didn't see it. They didn't show it. You guys didn't have a great night that way, JT, with cameras, but it is a mutter. But there was a lot of things that we didn't see, and these guys were saying he's going to get docked, and then nothing happened. HEP was really mad about it. They were the ones getting upset after the race about it. I can't rule on it, but then also Chase, at one point, Sexton goes in between the lanes and then just, you know, cuts on the track and makes a hard left. So at some point, Lewis said RJ was going backwards down a rhythm lane, in the middle of the main event. So anyways, it sounds like there was a disaster going on there. Like, was there anything that you guys saw? You know, Justin Cooper did get docked two spots. And so Justin Cooper got docked two spots and Chase Sexton got docked in the heat. Was there just a disaster everywhere else? Were those two super egregious? Like, it seems like there was a lot. Okay.
Hamaker got docked in qualifying for the same thing.
Okay.
In the qualifying session, he got docked. I did want to mention, I was trying to think about this, like, why did we miss, and we did miss some things, right? Like, we missed guys coming over the finish and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I think, I was, like, hypothesizing, you know, so how this works, there's cameramen all over the stadium, right? And then there is a director in the truck that is talking to all of them, and they're trying to pick up certain riders, certain cameras are trying to follow certain battles. I think these cameramen just couldn't figure out who was who.
Yeah.
I
agree.
That was part of it. Because they're not, these cameramen are contract workers. A lot of them, they don't know the guys. You know, they're not week in and week out Supercross guys. So at a clean race, you say, hey, that guy, he's going to be on a blue bike. He's number two. Just stick with him. When you're, everything is just pure mud, you can't even tell the number or any, like, we know who it is. We know their style. We know what they look like. We can pick out identifying features. These cameramen, it's not so easy.
But that's on the spotter, isn't it?
I just didn't know where people were.
That's on the spotter to be better with that. Hey, what's the guy's name? What's your guy?
Snapper.
Snapper. Hey, Snapper. Yeah. Snapper. Yeah. Grab. You know that guy in the before the triple or guy with the orange helmet or I don't know, but well, is that on the spotter?
To your point, yes. But also, I think when you're trying to catch like a last lap, like trying to coordinate all that of like. Who's where on the last lap? We don't even know who's on what lap. I just think it gets kind of the fog of war a little bit more than it normally would. I'm not saying, I'm not excusing it. I'm just trying to,
trying
to understand how we got there, and that was right. The only kind of thing I could come to.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, the broadcast has been under fire. We all know that. Rightfully, in some reasons, wrongfully, most of it wrongfully, in my opinion. And this was not a good night, but yes, it was a disaster mud race. So I'm sure the cameraman didn't know what was going on, and maybe the spotter didn't know who was who and all of that. It's really tough in these conditions, for sure. So, like, it is what it is. But back to the penalties, like, Weege, you said you had no idea about any of them. So,
No, man. My Weege wedge slash lurch perch was on the floor to not be in the stands, and, I mean, I could see nothing. I basically saw the monitor just like TV. So whatever you didn't see on TV, I also did not see. That was it. My view was extremely compromised
So JT, anything that you like? Yeah, any did you hear any discussions about this web thing or?
He talked about it at press conference. He talked about it.
Yeah. I meant more like if anybody saw it, you know.
The only thing I knew was that Kenny on the podium was like, "Is Webb getting penalized?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I didn't see it. I heard something about it, but I don't know." And he's like, from our team side, like he should. And I'm like, I have no comment because I didn't even see it.
Yeah.
So he was wondering about it on the podium.
Yeah, Webb said in the press that he did see it out of the corner of his eye. He was already committed. It was too late. Kind of what Sexton did. That you guys did show that. I don't think Sexton deserved to be penalized for what.
I was very surprised that he got penalized.
Yeah, I didn't. Wait, no. That was for the main, wasn't it?
Sexton, you're talking about.
No, Sexton got penalized in the heat, yes, but then they showed him in the main doing it also, I believe. Am I getting this wrong?
We've been on track in the main. I don't think he was penalized.
You're right. The one in the main, I did not feel he should be penalized at all.
Right, exactly.
Like, that was, like, way too late, way too committed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was perfectly fine with nothing happening there. Now, Webb was sort of saying that was his thing also. But again,
I didn't see Webb's at all.
And then, do you guys see RJ going backwards down a rhythm lane in the main?
I did see that.
Okay. And Justin Cooper, two spots? Anybody know?
Did not see that.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know, man. Like, it was like Nom. It's basically like Nom. Like, I don't know how to really do this review pod because, like, okay.
Yeah.
We can start with AP. He was 25 seconds up, like, four laps in. It was, see you later. And I guess, so apparently he almost lapped Webb. Webb's last lap was unreal, his lap time. Got him into third. And had he been lapped by AP, which was close to happening, I guess, then Webb would have never, because he moved up on the last lap, and Webb would have never got that third. He was fifth, I believe, ahead of Sexton, and then got two spots on the last lap with a great lap, but was almost in danger of getting lapped. So, yeah, crazy. Now, AP's been better.
You know what also didn't help, by the way, now that I'm looking at this? JT, did they lose transponder feed toward the end?
I didn't hear about it.
They don't have gaps. They don't have gaps.
Yeah, we definitely didn't have gaps. We definitely didn't have time gaps. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The spotter and everybody else, I mean, that is your ultimate guide as to is there a battle developing or not. You know, you are just literally looking at lap times and being like, this guy's gaining, mm-hmm. this guy's losing.
Yep.
So they lost that. So you lose that. I mean, I think the last time I'm looking at it right now, the last time they had the times, I think Webb was 27 seconds behind Sexton. It was like 60 seconds behind and 87 seconds behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lose that. And then, so there's probably, I'm just going to assume here, which I shouldn't assume, but they're probably just like, yeah, he's not going to all of a sudden catch him here with two laps to go. He's 27 seconds behind him. This is not a battle.
Mm-hmm.
In the stadium, they had time gaps on the Jumbotron. Last time I saw it, he was 6 seconds back. He had closed it to six, and I even radioed to Bondo and said, hey, Webb's closing the gap here. And we didn't get to show it. I don't know what happened. It was like two laps to go, three laps to go. That was the closest I saw was 6 seconds. Yeah. And then, I mean, even on the broadcast, we're like, wait, what? Like, how did Webb get third? Like, we didn't see it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was shocked. Like, I had to go back and try to figure it out. Like, it's amazing.
I have seen a clip since. Where did that clip come from? I saw a clip of Webb passing
Sexton around the outside. I think they had it. It just wasn't on the broadcast. Like, one of the cameras had it, and we showed replay of it. But it wasn't live broadcast, if that makes sense.
Oh, all right. Yeah, and that happens all the time, just for the information of folks at home. You know, they then, if something happens and they miss it, then they do go through, we call our tape room, and then they go through what every other camera caught that wasn't on the air. I know it's not as much as you'd think, because the cameras are aiming, you know, it looks like there's 50 cameras. It's like 15 doing the work of 50. But if they have it, we will replay it. So I guess that's what they did there. I didn't realize you did know it was down to six.
Yeah, I was.
I had no clue what was going on.
From the in-stadium Jumbotron. Like, my broadcast monitor wasn't showing me that.
And then, when the 450 main started, my mic broke. So I texted AC and JB and said, mic's broken, enjoy your night, fellas.
Oh, no way.
I was out.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got it back. Yeah, I don't know. I got it back with, like, a couple minutes to go. I wasn't really I wasn't in the game.
Yeah, man. Listen, check's going to cash, so, you know. Yeah.
Like you said, it was numb out there, dude. It was just like, I can't even believe we're doing this. It was raining so hard. You're right. It did stop, JT, but when it was raining for like 2-3 hours, it was just as hard as it could rain.
Dude, some good guys missed the night show, too. Like, we only had one qualifying session. That was it. Like, Hardy, see you later. You know, some other guys missed it.
Well, the track was terrible for their qualifier compared to the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible. Like, the one that those, you know, all the guys that they're never going to qualify like top five probably ever again. But, I mean, it's just how it goes. I saw your tweet, you know, like, it was the reverse Southwick effect. You know, like, it happens. You know, like, they usually get the beat-up racetrack. This time they got the good one. And, I mean, we were talking about it on Race Day Live, like, Hymus. Actually, we wasn't on Race Day Live. We were, like, rehearsing, but we were talking about it amongst ourselves. And
Faulkner was out of it, dude, until late.
Yeah, like, we were going crazy. Like, we were talking to ourselves on air, just nobody else could hear it. But, like, Hymus had to get a lap in, and Faulkner was on the bubble. Like, it was pretty chaotic there.
Yeah, Mark Finnis with the Club MX Revenge Tour, getting the pole. And then somebody named Dayton Briggs. I don't know, man.
He had a hell of a night, man.
Yeah, he really did. All right, let's talk 450s. AP, is it the seventh winner? Seventh winner this year?
It is.
He's, you know, the last one he won was a complete mutter. His mother was a mutter. His father was a mutter. He loves this stuff. And, it showed, man. He was gone, and he's been better lately. Obviously, we've talked about him a lot, so it's really cool to see him win, and salvage this race somehow. Make it look all right for him, and then we got a seventh winner, so should be great to see if we get another winner. Can we do eight?
You know what the crazy stat is here? Mm. You know the crazy stat. So seven is the as many as since 97. Eight, I think, is the most ever, which is 85. But what's even wilder is if you total up both classes together, there's now 18 different winners this year, which smashes the record.
Yeah, Deegan is the only
tied for the most.
Deegan's the only guy that's won more than one race, right? Yeah.
In the 250s, So there's 18 total riders have won between the two classes. The record was 16, so it was tied coming into this. And we were all wondering, will one more guy win? Well, two winners in one night.
Well, also, 285 was the year we did those two motos. That almost shouldn't count. You know, it was such a weird year. We did the two moto format in Supercross. So,
I don't know. One time they hung a banner in 2011 that said the greatest season ever, and you were screaming about 1985.
Yeah, it was.
So, does it count or does it not count?
Well, I don't know if it should. Well, that was a points race. The points race is different from individual winners, obviously. You see the difference in that.
I didn't say the greatest points season of all time. It just said the greatest season.
Okay. All right. So, AP wins. Awesome. Gone. Checked out. By the way, it was only 9 laps, the main event. So, it's just nuts. Shane McElrath second. Shane won the heat. So, I didn't know Shane was a mud guy, but then someone posted last year in San Francisco we did really well, too. I totally forgot about that. So, time to start thinking of Shane McElrath as a mudder. Right? Like, not a coincidence?
Definitely. He was good in qualifying. He was good in the heat. He was good in the main. And I did remember that at the time, that was so early. What was that, round two last year?
Yeah.
It seemed like, Shane's just finally, you know, finding his footing in the 450 class. But then it turned out to be, no, he just was good in a mud race.
And it is.
Remember that.
It is recency bias, but I think this was worse than San Fran, right? To me, it was. I was at San Fran, but this one seemed worse.
Plessinger said it was.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Actually, no. Plessinger said it was worse than San Diego, which he won. I don't know.
Oh. What San Diego. Think, yeah, it was definitely worse. It was definitely worse than San Diego. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
JT, was this worse than San Fran, though?
I think it was pretty similar. I mean, you're splitting hairs here. Like, they're both catastrophically bad.
Seville, Spain?
Sevilla was worse. I don't know. Like, the stickiness of this was what made it so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sevilla was so much water. Like, in the LCQ, just to give you a quick example, in the LCQ, I was in, and I knew I had a huge gap. I had, like, 45 seconds to the next guy. to not qualify. So there was this river in the middle of the track, and every lap I got across was like a miracle. Mm-hmm. So the last lap I just ghost rode my bike across and then ran and picked it up and kept going because it was the faster, safest angle. Mm-hmm. Like anytime you're ghost riding your bike and that's the best possible route, mm-hmm. that's
pretty bad
where we were.
Yeah. They're definitely pretty.
What?
Yep.
That's insane.
I just revved it up and shot it across the lake and then went and got it.
Cooper Webb gets third, puts more points on Chase Sexton. Sexton obviously won the heat and then got docked, and I was thinking Sexton was going to win, his riding style and everything else. But, man, at some point, he just started crashing. It's like anything. Once you go down once, your grips, gloves, you're done. You're just done. And so, if you can stay up, you're fine. It's better, obviously. But I think once Sexton had that first crash, that was it. Cooper Webb third, Roczen fourth, which is good because Roczen was going to – he twisted his foot, right, in qualifying. A foot, ankle?
Well, hold on. I'm going to go back to Webb here.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Roczen did have a bad ankle, and they made it worse. But Webb also went down. And to me, this just goes into the last lap thing again, which I didn't think would matter in the mud. I didn't think Webb was this good in the mud. But I don't know. I don't think it's completely just, whatever, to say that he once again saw Chase Sexton on the last lap. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I got to get this guy. And then he did it.
He did a 147 on the last lap. His laps before were 151, 151, and 157. So he did his fastest lap was early, right? That's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Everybody's was. But, yes, he cut 10 seconds off. Well, he cut 4 seconds off his previous two laps in the last lap. Yeah.
So doesn't this still fit into the lexicon of Cooper Webb pulling out unbelievable clutch last laps, even though it was a mud race?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him on the podium. I was like, I said, bro, what happened? And he's like, man, I have no idea. He's like, I just saw four, and I just pinned it. But he's like, I didn't know it was for third. I just had to get around the four.
Yep.
And I'm like, so is this just another last lap you put it together? And he's like, no, a lot of that was luck. Oh, and doing jumps. Because he did you see that on TV? He was doing the finish and what was supposed to be a triple after it, which was, mm-hmm. I can't even imagine how much time he was making. Did you see it? Did they show that?
Yeah, they did. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't imagine when you see how slow it is to roll it. I mean, dude.
But I kind of figured
so bad in the two other rhythms and so fast there.
I kind of figured other guys were doing it or no? At that point, no? The elite guys, the top guys?
So.
No? Okay.
What do you think, JT?
Early on they were, but that's that was early. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the other two rhythms,
he was the only person I saw doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And the other two rhythms, he was atrociously slow, which they did show on TV.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, those other rhythms you were struggling. I thought you had no choice.
He probably made up 5 seconds a lap on those two laps, just in those jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, like,
so
it's not
I just
more
say it,
by jumping them.
It's another Cooper Webb clutch. Like, what are the odds? This is like the Duke college basketball game where they had the 91% chance of winning. What were the odds of Webb gaining points on Sexton in this race with, like, two laps to go? 8%, 4% chance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, he did it again.
Yeah.
Rain or shine.
Chase had it down to 8 points. It's 15 now after the last two races. Yeah.
I was thinking about this.
That's all.
In my own podcast, I was kind of writing and talking about this. You know, when you get down to the end of a series like this, the person that's chasing, literally chase, I didn't even mean to say it that way, but the person that is trying to make up points, it becomes your – time becomes your worst enemy, you know? Like, you are the one that is looking at the clock like they got to make up points, and Cooper Webb's looking at it like, all I have to do is kind of keep it the same. And if you're looking at it in that scenario, we have now gone through three rounds. We left Indy. It was 15. We've gone through three rounds, a lot of chaos, and guess where we are? 15. So it now becomes this thing where Webb's like, that's fine. He goes out and wins Philly. If I can go out and win Pittsburgh, status quo stays the same. Like, that is now becoming the challenge, and the closer we get to the finale, that is where the dynamic kind of comes into play, is you start just running out of time to make up a gap here. And that this weekend, that last lap swing was huge in that frame, right? If you think about it that way, like that point swing back the other way was gigantic.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was great job by Coop. Great job by the team, too. Like, obviously, the bikes all kept going, too, right? They had to – mechanics are the real heroes of this race, for sure. Roczen fourth. Like I said, he was kind of upset about this jumping on the Red Cross, but AMA looked at it, and AMA looked at a lot of things, I guess, and just decided Justin Cooper was the only guy. Just Justin Cooper was the only guy. I almost would have liked to have seen no penalties. I don't know what Cooper did, but, yeah. Barcia fifth. In the heat race, Barcia was way back. Obviously, he qualified quick and loved it. He's bam. This is stuff that he's good at for sure. And then in the heat race, he was way far back and made it in at the last minute. Really rode well the last couple laps to get in. And then in the main event, I don't know. He was way back and then up and then way back again. It was a very up and down race for Barcia. But, yeah, made it stuck with a fifth.
Feel like a little bit of a lost opportunity for Barcia?
Well, just the start, right?
Yeah, just, you know, I see these moments, I don't think are, you know, especially where Barcia's at, kind of his placement against guys when it's dry, you know, he doesn't have the winning form that he's had even a few years ago, right now, on a dry track. But this type of track, he could win, just like AP did, you mm-hmm. know, and it just, I think it's fine, it's fine. I just felt like he kind of underperformed what the opportunity was for Barcia in the mud. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah. Yeah. He, watching his position and lap times, he was all over the place. He must have been falling
yeah.
and then really fast and then falling.
Too hard.
Right.
Yeah,
Sexton sixth. Yeah. Sexton sixth. Benny Boss seventh. Good job for Benny. He was moving up. He moved from way back. So Benny,
you know,
is
crazy.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to say Benny is now just 4 points back of Oldenburg. You know, for Beta's number one rider. Yeah. 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 Benny's been making some moves here lately. So
I was going to add, like, I saw Benny down, and, like, he's down for a really long time mm-hmm. on the start straightaway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see him take off, and I'm like, oh, that sucks. Another rough night for Benny. But it was just like, it didn't even matter. Like, everybody
yeah.
was doing that. So he's, like, still seventh, you know? And it was like, I'm looking at him, like, come on, Benny, go. Like, it's taking forever. But you just think about how much trouble everybody else had, you know? It's like, just, it was just the norm.
Did Oldenburg's bike break, or did he just get stuck or something? Because he was up there and just disappeared.
I never saw him.
Okay. He was like fourth or fifth for the much of the race. I had him in fantasy, so I was watching that. And then, dude, just gone. So I don't know, bike or crash, but he never finished. Colt Nichols, eighth. Logan Leitzel, man.
Unbelievable.
Ninth place for Jericho Weege, team manager of the year. Signing.
Yep, that's what they do.
Yep.
Well, Bubba Pauly made it too, right?
Yep, Bubba Pauly made it too. Yeah,
yeah.
Freddie did not.
Oh.
That's the kind of night this was. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's
I mean, Freddie?
Yeah.
Freddie's not a mud guy, though. He's not like a sand mud
guy.
No. Remember he skipped Motocross of Nations that year. He's like, nope,
yep.
Not my jam.
Ferrandis I had in fantasy, and he was way back early. He got up to 12th, went back to 18th, got to 14th, went to 16th, and then ended up 10th with Justin Cooper's penalty. Phil Ferrandis yep. seemed like one of those nights, like Barcia. Up, down, up, down.
He was really fast.
Yeah.
He was really fast. Something happened on the first lap, mm-hmm. which really, that was kind of the, like, once you got that muddy, and I think it was just really hard to do much. But had he got a start, he could have been in that top five battle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Is that Logan Leitzel's first 450 main event, by the way?
First main event, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. After that, man, I don't know. Tristan Lane, Malcolm Stewart, Starling Marantz, Bubba Pauly, Christian Craig. Craig is straight up not having a good time right now.
No.
He is not having fun. Harlan's bike had to get dragged out by tractors at the end.
Yes. Yep. But yeah, I watched the Weed Show. I had being carried out in a Bobcat. Yep.
Did you interview Harlan? Weed?
On Friday.
Oh.
Not after the race.
Oh, okay.
I did see his bike, though. Hilariously, half hour later, his bike looks good as new over in the bike wash area.
Mm.
And shout out to Corey from the track crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, JT.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Shout out to Corey from the Dirtworks, who we know, Steve. Harlan posted a picture of his bike in the skid steer, and then he just wrote, "That's the fastest your bike went all night."
He made the main, man. Come on.
I did interview Harlan about horrific qualifying attempt last week from Friday. That was good. Anyway, go ahead, JT.
His horrific qualifying from Seattle?
Yes. On Friday, I was like, can we relive the heartbreak of crashing in the last spot of the heat?
Oh, yeah, yeah, in the LCQ.
In the LCQ,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, yeah. So at least he made it.
Go ahead, JT.
Steve, on a night like that, after the race, is the bike just pretty much a pile of garbage? Like, you're just like, yep, all this is garbage.
Not really, no. No, because it wasn't like, I mean, you got to rebuild it, right?
But your engine is just junk.
No. What do you mean junk? Like, you replace all the gaskets because they get hot and they melt, yep. Right? Because you lose the antifreeze.
Like, all your tolerances are shot. Like,
no, not really, man. You'd be surprised. You relap your valves because you suck water and sand and replace. I mean, you got to replace some stuff for sure. But like junk, I don't know. I guess that depends on your definition, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you're Sexton or Webb, there's no way they're not replacing everything. Like, everything had to be way too, like,
if you're Sexton and Webb, you are throwing all brand new parts except for like the transmission into it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a privateer dude, you're, you know, replacing the top end. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I get it.
But, and then also too, like, it stains everything, right? So you will be on the aluminum frames, you will be on the cases and everything. You will be scrubbing like mad to try to restore it a little bit. Definitely. So I don't know, man. Like, what do you guys got? Chisholm's bike broke. A-Rod's bike was just a pile of steam out there. I don't know about Oldenburg. Jeremy Hand, you guys got anything?
I mean, Webb's bike.
I have nothing.
I was scared Webb was going to DNF.
Yes, I heard from someone down there that
Webb. Really hot.
Yes, at the end of the thing, it let out just steam everywhere after he shut it off.
Well,
shut it down. Yeah.
When he shut it off, he told his mechanic, my bike's done.
Yeah.
Like, it blew up.
Yeah.
Right there, sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, it expired.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm surprised more bikes didn't break, but these things are pretty damn reliable now, you know? And again, like we said, they cut the mains twice, so, like, it was 9 laps. I'll give you guys a little preview of my race tech rant for tomorrow night on the Pulp Show, though. It's just all these hero off-road guys posting on social. Girls and men, all these heroes posting it. Like, first of all, do you think Sexton and Webb went to the AMA and said, cut the laps? No, they didn't. They're going to ride, but they're going to rot. But, give me a break. These guys, dude, they just love to pile on. Let's see you jump some jumps, heroes, off-road heroes. Like, I don't know. It's just, give me a break.
Something is different. That's all. Something has to be, because their whole point is we ride for 2 or 3 hours in these conditions, no problem. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
something has to be different. It cannot be that Cooper Webb is so horrible at riding in the mud compared to you that he can only get his bike to last 12 minutes.
Exactly.
And you can go 2 hours, no problem. It cannot be that, right?
No, I think the tracks are wider, right? You can go outside everywhere. If you think of Supercross, you're constricted to this 8-foot wide, you know, lane that you have to stay in. The GNCC people can go anywhere they want. Not anywhere, but, you know, they got 50 feet of track or whatever, right?
And they do?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and there are hills to climb, but also I would imagine this is – you'd have to, like, scientifically study this. Having 5-footer jumps every 12 feet in mud, you could maybe say is worse than the occasional uphill or hill climb in a off-road race. You know what I mean?
I'm just with you, Weege. Like, calm down, off-road heroes. Calm down. If you don't think Chase Sexton and Cooper Webb and these dudes are, like, the baddest dudes ever, you know? Like, and they're not crying about shortening the races. It's the AMA, you know, doing it. It's not, it's not these riders being, we can't ride this. Please shorten it, you know? So, yeah, it always happens. Yeah. All the hero off-road people post. Yeah. And look, those guys are gnarly. I'm not saying they're not. They're great riders and they're tough and everything else, but they love to pile on these Supercross guys.
Yes.
You know,
I'm sure they are better mud riders because, look, if you ask any of these guys, JT, you lived it, they're not really practicing mud pretty much ever, right? Like,
no.
Plessinger is a great mud rider for a Supercross guy, but the only mud he's probably ridden in the last 10 years are the half a dozen mud races he's been in. I mean,
half of the GNCCs this year have been mud races. Two of the four have been three-hour-long mud races. Like, that's a lot of reps. So I'm not saying they're not better in these conditions, but the idea of, like, you can only ride for 12 minutes and I can do it for three hours, that's I am 87% better.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's really apples to apples.
I'm with you. So it's a little bit of my race tech rant for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
All right, that's
4 that said, I was on the podium standing next to AT, and he's surprisingly laughing, smiling, loving it. Are you shocked at this?
No.
He
just made 100 grand for 9 laps.
Yeah, that's true. And he just turns to me and he's like, how the hell are we even up here, brother? We came from GNCC, man. Why are we even here?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's a good point. We should just be on the flatbed trailer. I should be interviewing you in GNCC right now. Like, neither of us should be standing on this Supercross podium. He's like, I know, man. We shouldn't even be here. We shouldn't even be in Supercross. It's awesome.
Well, he's been on the show many times talking about how his hero wasn't fucking McGrath or Ricky. It was Barry Hawk. Barry Hawk was his hero, you know?
Yes. Yep.
All right, 250s. Well, we mentioned Hymus earlier. We should shout out the sponsors, by the way. Motorsport.com. Go through the banner to help us out on PulpMX.com. They have a Driven to Ride sweepstakes going on right now. They're giving away a Stark Varg. So it's free to enter. Weekly prizes are super awesome each and every week. And then the Stark Varg is the grand prize. Free shipping on everything over $79. Make your next ride your best ride. Motorsport.com. They support a lot of things out there, including that LCQ race in Denver that we're doing. And tickets are available now on that. So if you want to win a YZ450 or 20 other prizes, including, I think Fly's given us two different prizes, Firepower also, go to PulpMex.com, buy a raffle ticket. All the money goes to the privateers. Rod Bell is winning, and we'll get to Rod Bell. He's winning in the 450s right now. But thanks to the Motorsport.com guys. Buy the ticket as well on PulpMex.com to help privateers and maybe win a brand-new Yamaha YZ450 and Onyx Maps as well, Weege.
Onyx Maps, they got some cool information here. They are restoring trails 2024. They've restored 434 miles of trails and 100,000 acres of land for outdoor recreation. So if you go to Onyx Maps and you choose to subscribe and get the app and use the maps, they put that money to good work. It's better than using Google Maps if you're going to be mountain biking or hiking or driving a Jeep or side-by-side or dirt bike. If you're an enduro off-road type guy, if you want to ride in the mud for 3 hours and not get lost, Onyx Maps would be a good way to do it. Just keep your phone waterproof somehow and go to onxmaps.com or Onyx Off-Road in the App Store, and you can try it for 7 days free and then subscribe. Type in RacerX, all one word, all lowercase, and we'll give you a discount.
All right, sounds good. 250s, Foxborough. We mentioned that Hymus needed that last lap there, or in one of the last laps near the end of qualifying to even get into the fast 40 like Forkner did. But, Hymus pulls it off. We had different leaders during the race, and I didn't know Chance was a great mud rider, but when you look at his, you know, growing up in Idaho and everything else, kind of makes sense, JT, that Hymus would win this, although it didn't look promising early.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time racing, like, off-road races, a bunch of series that, you know, like, you wouldn't have heard of, too, but, like, NGTC and Heron Hound, and he's done a ton of that. And I really think that helped him here. He has a really versatile kind of skill set of riding versus I'm going to go to a riding facility and ride moto all day long and just do corner drill. Like, his skill set is really broad. And when you get a track like this and a race like this, I think he shined because of it.
First career win. I mean, look, it doesn't matter. No one's going to remember. I mean, we've kind of thought he was close to breaking through a few times. But I wonder if this, even with these conditions, Weege, I wonder if this kind of kickstarts him a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I ended up talking to him quite a bit on Friday because there really wasn't a media day. And these media folks in the pits, myself included, were just like rabid dogs, just like looking for anybody and anything to possibly interview.
Well, we got the RacerX got the SMX Futures guys. We got that on lock.
We got the Futures guys and the third place finisher in the 250 class. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anybody else interviewing Gage Linville on Friday. So that's what RacerX brings to the table, an exclusive pre-race interview with Gage Linville, podium guy. We all saw it coming. So I saw Hymus, and I was like, bro, you're going to get attacked. You're going to do 48 interviews today. And he did quite a few. Anyway, I talked to him for a long time, and he was really in the dumps. You know, he was originally, as we know, maybe not even going to race Supercross at all, coming off the ACL.
He was going to jump in halfway through,
Not race Tampa.
Yes.
Originally not going to even race Tampa.
Yep. Yep.
And it's like, we'll let you race, but the results do not matter. Do not get hurt. Just ride Supercross to get your laps in and learn. And then he admitted that he pretty much forgot about all that. And as soon as the results stopped, the last two races have been bad. He's just been in the dumps. And he's riding with Hamaker. And, you know, the same old story you always hear. During the week, they're similar, but Seth's winning. And he's getting 8th, 12th, whatever.
Right.
And he was super bummed. But, gentleman who also wears the number 10, rides a Honda, wears fly gear.
Not familiar.
The great Justin Brayton was also spotted inside the truck. And in about, I'm going to say it took about 45 seconds maybe to give him the Midas touch and just lift his spirits. And this is what happens. Now he's won a race and everything is solved.
Here we go.
That was it. Yep. Now, also, I cannot confirm or deny, but I believe when Ken Roczen was ailing with his ankle, that we saw Roczen Friday night, and he said, actually, his ankle has been hurting, but the shoulder's been so bad, he wasn't really thinking about the ankle.
Mm.
But then in Seattle, it started to get to him, and he's like, oh, this ankle's actually pretty bad. Then I think that's what happened to him in the qualifying when he didn't even finish it. And I think at one point, Ken was going to just not race. But I believe, again, a rider number 10 rides a Honda Fly Racing gear, retired, host of Race Day Live. I believe he was summoned over to give the Midas Touch pep talk. And there's Ken Roczen, maybe even podium level in a race he was originally not even going to race.
Can he do anything about these tariffs? Can he help the market?
Maybe we need to call him in.
Can he help the market out? Like, this guy seems incredible. He seems incredible.
Maybe that's what we need.
I don't know, man. Because Justin Cooper, he's helped with the whoops also. You know, with Justin Cooper. Oh, like, yeah. Max Anstey.
Cooper Webb in a heat race.
Yep.
Anstey, yep. So, yeah. Let's stop focusing on the Supercross here and let's fix the stock market. Anyway, huge for Hymus.
Yeah.
He was in a bad, bad place.
Yeah, it's been underwhelming. Like, he's been hurt, and there's reasons, but it's been underwhelming. Honda made a big display last year of re-signing him, you know, and we certainly saw some outdoor stuff, but then he got hurt. And, yeah, it's you know. So I wonder if this kickstarts him, even though it's mud and it's crappy and all of that, you know. Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Yeah, he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And just like everybody else, like, the point's right. He's only 8 down. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, he's got 3 guys in front of him. The Al and Hamaker tides and RJ's 3, but Hymus is only 8, and I'm not saying he's going to win the title. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's freaking wide open. We get another mud race at a showdown. Like, who the hell knows where this thing goes?
Yeah, no, absolutely. With 2 showdowns to go, I've been saying this on my shows. Like, it's our job to forecast this series and talk about it. But with 2 showdowns, dude, God knows. You know, like, we just had McAdoo and Hamaker, you know, take each other out at the showdown last year. So, this Dayton Briggs dude, he that led early and then qualified quick and then did well in the heat. Like, what's anybody know anything about Dayton?
I have nothing.
Briggs?
Nothing to offer you, which is amazing. I know. But I literally have nothing.
Weech?
Same, man. In fact, Bondo, the TV producer, I wasn't on the TV crew this weekend, but he calls me and he's like, hey, I need to find you. And I'm like, oh, I'm inside the other truck. And he comes over and he's like, Dayton Briggs, what do you got? And I'm like, honestly, man, I got nothing. And Will Christian is standing there. And she's like, wait, I want a video of this. I want a video. We just not heard of this guy. I want this for the record. And I'm like, where is he from? And they said, Riverside, California. I'm like, I know he'll know. Will Hahn knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I text Will Hahn. And I'm like, Dayton Briggs, what do you got? And he goes, I got nothing. Never heard of him. And I'm like, we're done.
Is it possible that this is... like a rider run under a fake name? Is it possible?
I searched his Instagram afterwards, and he's a real person, and he said this is his pro debut.
Wow. I don't have the Riverside, California guys being mutters, but I mean, ultimately he got 17th. He crashed, you know, but he did lead a couple laps and all of that. So,
Dayton Briggs.
Dayton Briggs. Cullen Park second. Good job, Cullen Park. Is there anybody that doesn't like Cullen Park? There's nobody, right?
Fortner did not briefly.
What's that, Weege?
Fortner did not like him briefly.
Oh, that's right. Yep, they did get into it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, right? Yeah. Yeah. But everybody likes the guy, yes.
Yeah, great dude. Awesome to see. First time on the podium again. This is Weege. We do a Reaceables podcast, whether we do a Jacob Marsak Award winner, because Jacob Marsak actually got third in Daytona in the 450 class, and no one remembers it. It was awesome for him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Jacob Marsak Award winners in this Foxborough race, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That was my buddy Jack, mechanic for Travis Delnicki, and we'll tell Delnicki's story before this is over. Jack Courtney just texted me during the main and just says, so many Jacob Marsak awards out there tonight.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
There's a lot.
The second for even the Lightstone making the main, like just so many.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, for sure. Like
Bubba Pauly.
We'll be doing this podcast from this race in 2035 and be like Logan Lightstone, ninth.
Hey,
speaking of Forkner, he didn't make the main. This, like, obviously the conditions were what they were, but this is completely off the rails. Like, it is going so badly. So badly. You know, there's a gentleman that we know that does Triumph PR. Do you guys know that?
Oh, not familiar.
Yeah. There's a gentleman we know that writes for Triumph for the PRs. Weege, you knew the Geico guy for a while. Same kind of deal. The headline.
He was the best.
The headline, Austin Forkner, luckless in Massachusetts mutter. Luckless. No luck. No luck at all.
Well, I would say he didn't have any luck. He didn't have any good luck. It's not inaccurate.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yep. Wow. That is great.
Luckless. Luckless in the...
Luckless.
Yep. JT, ever been luckless in a race?
If it was only last week, could have been luckless in Seattle.
Yeah. JT, you ever had, like, luckless nights?
I have not. Yeah, I'm sure I have. Could we use the luckless monster?
I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, bad deal. Gage Linville was down on the first turn and was 18th after lap one and got third. Gage Linville, Dirt Bike Depot. Nice work, Gage Linville. Works with Burner. Actually, he's in Triumph now. He works with Brownie now. He's riding at Triumph and all that. So
insane, yeah. And he could barely talk. His podium interview there was terrible. That was Will or you, JT? Is that Will?
Talk to who? I'm sorry.
Linville, Gage Linville.
That was me. I was talking to Linville. Yeah.
Yes. He basically said nothing, right? But he says he got broke with a handlebar.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I guess when he said he was speechless, it was more of the literal sense because I talked to him for Weed Show like a half hour later and he could only get three or four words out at a time because he had literally been hit in the throat with a handlebar while he was down in the first turn. And then somehow, and he also says he sucks in mud.
I mean, honestly, if you just did the laps, let's say once he gets up.
Yeah.
Once he gets up, if he doesn't fall again. You can see a third coming, you know? I know our buddy RJ doesn't like it. He's fine with RJ going RJ and all the things that we make jokes about. He's okay with it, but it does irritate him a little bit. And then we have what we had in Foxborough. Like, what the fuck, RJ? What the fuck? Like, dude... Just jet ski down.
Unbelievable.
No one else did that. No one else did that. Only you, RJ. Oh, my God. I just laughed. Yeah. But if you're RJ and you do that in the mud and you get 14th and you make points up on the leader, I guess it's a good night. I don't know, man. I don't. So, like, when RJ gets a little mad, and he doesn't lose his mind or anything. He just bugs him a little bit. I'm just going to whip my phone up and just be like, oh, yeah? Is this you? Is this you right here? Okay, good. So the points, as JT mentioned, Vialen Hamaker 99, RJ 97, and Chance 91. Like, yeah, dude, gnarly. Really close. Fourth
it's
place.
Honestly, probably one of the better ones ever.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, five to go. And, I mean, even even Cullen Park is only 15 out. And what is he, sixth?
What a disaster for the GP guy, Tom Vial. Like, what happened?
Dude.
Just crash, caught on the – oh, unbelievable. What a disaster night for Tom Vial.
Yeah, so he finished, but he didn't finish. He didn't finish, but he did finish. I don't even know. I heard that he was seen ghost riding his bike to get it over the finish line at the end, but he still got last anyway. I honestly don't even know. He was doing well for a while. Then he crashed.
Yeah. So his last lap was a 4:36, in case you're wondering.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that good? Yeah. JT, is that good?
I think it's okay.
A 4:36? He was...
I mean, it depends on who you're comparing against. It's better than Vial's last lap.
Okay, on the third lap, that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about Vial.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 minute lap time. Wow.
He was four.
I don't even think he finished. Did he even actually finish?
I don't think so. There's no...
I heard he didn't. I heard he didn't, but Clinton Fowler said he watched him out the window attempt to or ghost ride his bike over the finish line to get it over the line.
He's only marked down as doing four laps.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But he was fourth on lap three. So with two laps to go, because he got lapped, with two laps to go, he was fourth. And then he did that four-minute last lap. Unbelievable.
That's a rough one, man. Dead last. Like, so I have a few things to opine on that. Like, I'm a big believer that no matter good, bad, indifferent, whatever, you're always trying to, like, find a silver lining in the night. You know, like, even if you're a worst night, like, okay, what can I take away from this positive? Because you got to go racing again in a week. You know, you can't just sit there and wallow in self-pity. So, like, if you're Vial, you get dead last. Like, that's brutal. You just have to look at it and say, I'm still tied for the lead. Like, all right, whatever, still tied for the lead. And, like, Hamaker, not the best night, but he gained 13 points on the lead. Now he's tied for the lead.
Yeah.
And then RJ has the most spectacular crash in history, and he's only down three.
Yeah.
So it's, like, the craziest results ever. And all these guys are like, yeah, whatever, it's not so bad.
I just don't know how the GP guy melts down like that. Like, holy shit. Like, he was doing fine. Everything was good. And then, wow. Two laps down and 4:36 lap time. Rod Bell. So Rod Bell's been riding 450s all year. And then just on the podium, he was third forever, got fourth. And then on the podium just says he borrowed his buddy's bike. Did he borrow the 250?
Yeah.
We each four because did. It was muddy. Like, did he? Hey, I'm gonna jump the 250s for Foxborough because it's muddy. What was the reasoning? Do we know, Rod? Or this is just Rod Bell's world?
Yeah, I really don't know. I was super okay. confused. It's a little odd to. I could ask him right now. I guess it's a little odd to make this move this late in the year. Plus, isn't he competing for points? As you said, in your own thing?
He's clinched. He's winning, so he's clinched. He's in. Like, he's going to be in the race on a 450.
Oh, so maybe that's why. He's like, I've already done that, so maybe on a 250 I can get a result. I mean, he hasn't made a main all year, so is it just literally that simple?
He did make the main in San Francisco. I think I interviewed him. So he is a mutter.
Yeah, last year, but he hasn't made a main all this year.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about his good ride, like McElrath or whatever. Like, he's a mutter. Rod Bell.
That's true. Yeah.
Knowing Rod Bell and his loose program, he could have been literally like, oh, man, complete mutter. I can do really good in 250s. I'm going to borrow one. That's literally what could have happened.
Possible.
Yep.
I guess possible.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And then he gets fourth. Yeah.
He got fourth. I was like, oh, man, how cool would have been if Rod Bell got on the podium. But in the end, they interviewed him anyway. JT, I'm just going to assume that this is literally Bondo being like, Rod Bell's awesome. We got to interview him. Got to be.
So
it's a too cool story.
Yeah, like, who stops him? Who stops him and knows all that?
No, yeah. So I'll tell you exactly how it went. Rob's all pulled over because everybody pulled over and they're just like reassessing their life, right?
Right.
But like, he's happy. So I radio to Bondo and said, hey, Justin Rodbell is here. He got fourth. Can I grab him? And there was like a pause and they're like, yes, yes, grab him. So I ran down and said, hey, do not leave. We're going to put you on TV. So that was kind of how
nice.
It was.
Yeah. Would Bondo know Rodbell and his character? Weege?
We've talked about it.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But they don't know who's there and not, right? So
right.
I've tried to be more aware of, like, what can we – again, in the end, it was, like, awesome. You know what I mean? I didn't know it was going to go that way. But I was more doing it because I wanted – I thought Rodbell should have that moment. Like, a fourth place, really? Like,
well,
he deserves something there. So.
And he's a great interview. He's a really funny guy. You saw that in the podium.
Yeah, and I just full clarity, I did not know it was going to go like that.
Oh.
I had no idea it was going to go anywhere near that.
Oh,
I just was more doing it because I thought it would be cool for him.
Oh, no. Weege and I could have told you that. He's
okay. Well, yeah, yeah.
He's phenomenal.
I'm trying to be transparent.
And Weege.
I don't want it to be like, oh, I know it's going to be amazing. I did this because it's going to be awesome. Like, that wasn't my reason.
My interviews are always gold. Weege, you had him come to your house for the HVAC. So.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yep. He's got to come back, actually. Just counting the weeks till Salt Lake City so he can stop with this darn racing and get to my house and fix the air conditioning. Come on, man.
He's a beauty. He's an absolute beauty, Rodbell.
Yes.
And
he brought it. He brought his best work on that podium. He did.
Yep. No, you're good. And then, yeah, I think he said it was Mason Kerr's bike. So, yeah, thanks, Mason Kerr. Your bike's destroyed. Here you go. Thank you, buddy. After this, man, I don't know. Finnis, the only thing that really bugged me was Finnis saying on the interview that he just switched teams and he didn't do one start with the new bike on the new team. Like, he went from Club MX to PRMX, Yamaha to Cowie, different bike, different ECUs. He rode it out in Florida. He said he drove straight from Indiana to Florida. And then you don't do one start. Your first start is the practice start. You don't do one start with the new team on mapping or anything. This is why things like Rodbell and Finnis, this is why, and then Swaggy McSwag a few weeks ago, this is why I love a sport. This is just...
Shaw Daddy.
This is why our sport, like, in rules, even though it sometimes gets us so upset. This is why. You just got fourth on a borrowed bike in your first time in this class all year in the mud, and then you also jump on a team's bike and don't do one start. And no one from the team says do a start. Your dad, you, the team, no one says do a start. Okay, cool, man. This is just unbelievable. But Finnis
for the race.
Finnis did qualify quickest, obviously with the track conditions. I got nothing on Bennick or Kobusch or Chambers or Hamaker. Preston Taylor, Trevor Collin.
Hamaker went down in the first turn, right?
Yep.
He was almost got a whole shot and then nice.
Well, how many guys did RJ probably take down right there?
Was it RJ that started that?
Well, yeah, he jet skied into the first turn.
Oh, I thought that was Hamaker.
No. RJ.
The wall of water.
That was RJ.
And Hamaker got caught with that?
I'm assuming a lot of guys got caught with RJ. Doing his best Chris Fischetti.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. I just watched it back. RJ starts 14 feet to the right of Hamaker and still gets him.
That's what I'm saying about RJ being RJ. I'm going to show him the video. You guys didn't get this part on the phone? I was saying, like,
I thought you were talking about going backwards in a rhythm lane.
Well, okay, there's that too. No, I meant the start. Like, if RJ ever gets...
You said jet ski, and I'm like, who didn't jet ski? Everybody jet skied. Oh, yes.
If
Hamaker is minding his own business, and then this jet ski gets him.
RJ just grabs fifth down the start straight and realizes I can't stop. It's phenomenal. Weege, a veteran of the review shows, Richie Randonella puts it in there for 12th. Yeah.
Yes.
It's either
the most jersey of last names might as well just be in Bon Jovi with a name like that.
I tweeted that out. He's either the drummer for Bon Jovi or he's a supercross racer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Richie Randonella. Would Rarick say
GPT to give me names of members of the Bon Jovi? Like, give me an
an amalgamation, an analog, give me a name. They would combine all band members. That would be the name.
Yes, yes. Would Rarick say he's a legend of Jersey? For sure. For sure.
I think we're getting some definition. It might take... You have to be in the past, I almost feel, to be a legend.
Okay, yeah, you can't be... Yeah, new.
This is Seth's thing. He bagged on current privateers time to get a job, but then later people become legends. So I can't...
It's a great point.
Can't figure it out.
It's a great point. Everyone should quit except for the top 10. Everyone gets a job, but then Bobby McBob from Worcester is a legend. Worcester, yeah. Bobby McBob from Worcester. He's a legend.
He's a legend. Yeah.
That's a great point.
I think Richie is part of the Carson crew. And did you see
Corey? Corey.
Corey, we had it.
If Corey was ever going to do it, it was in Foxborough.
He was start second in the LCQ. I'm like, tonight's the night.
Him and Chiz. It was like 1982 all over. Suzuki running 1-2. It was like Bomber and Howerton. Poor Corey.
It did not last. Yep. I saw Barry before we did the regressibles with Barry last week. I saw him during the track viewing, not track walk, but track view from the stand.
Uh-huh.
And he said, we listened to the pod on the way to the race. He's like, admit it. You were laughing at me just as much as you were laughing with me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is not some state secret here. Of course we were laughing at you as much as, of course.
Well, I don't know. Like, what do you mean? Like, laughing at him, like, as far as being, like, an RV mechanic and still finishing on the podium? Like, things like that?
I think, like, the program. It was both, like, it's both amazing, but also, like, oh, my God, this was your program.
Yeah.
Like, JT, Barry told us that he just, he's like, who did your motors? And his answer's like, I had 3 bikes for the year. I would just swap in a freshie.
Yeah.
Motors. I'm doing my motors.
Yeah, no one's doing his motors. He's getting third in Supercrosses. He's not riding Supercross tracks during the week. He's riding a pit. Yep.
Well, that was always Ping used to always say at a big work, he had a stock silencer on. He's like hole shotting with a stock silencer.
Yeah.
It's somehow both at the same time. You're like laughing at this program, quote unquote, that he's on, but also respecting the fact that he did well with it.
Yeah, you know that Barry finished top 10 in 125 East 10 out of his first 11 years? Top 10 in the points.
That's a great stat.
Yeah, unbelievable. I think the year he didn't, he got 11th. Probably got hurt. Max Volin was stuck, I guess. I talked to the Max Volin whisperer. And so Max dominated the heat race. Immediately I got a text saying they're going to protest him for the handbrake from another guy in the pits. Then he dominated the heat race and everyone was like, handbrake. And then he didn't dominate the main and no one was talking about the handbrake anymore. I guess he got stuck and then was dead 3 laps down and then unlapped himself apparently. Unlapped himself and then got 18th. Any of you guys see this?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I saw nothing. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess it sounds like he rode really well. When you look at his fast lap, he was a 126, which was faster than Rod Bell and faster than Linville, faster than Kobush and Chambers. Like his best lap was actually pretty fast compared to everyone else. So it does seem like Max Volin did unlap himself.
He's a mud guy.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Nate Thrasher. I mean, look, he got 19th. He got some points. He pretty much could have just mailed it in and not made the LCQ, but he got in on the last lap. Him and Faulkner were both out, and then he got in. But then congratulations, Nate. You get to race the main, and he's 2 laps down in 19th. So,
well, I think he's still, at least going in, thought outside chance title contender.
Oh, for sure.
He wanted to get in.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I'm kidding.
He
I'm just saying, like,
20 points behind some.
It was probably so much stress to get in because, you know, he's barely in. And then all of a sudden, he has a total disaster night. Like, I mean, Vial was worse, but, Nate wasn't much better. And, Hamden Hudson, Aiden Schiff, I got nothing. It's tough.
I got one rider to mention here, TJ Albright. Do you know his story for the weekend, Steve?
No, I don't.
Oh, race 250. I'm like, why are you here? Don't you race 250 West? And he's like, no, I'm racing 250 in the 450 class. And I'm like, why? And he's like, the goal is to get fifth in the LCQ, max points to get into Matheson's race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's done a few 450 races this year. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, so if you're fourth in the LCQ, like, your goal is to get past. He's like, absolutely. And on the last lap of this chaos of the 250 LCQ, I look on the board, and I'm like, oh, my God, he is in fifth. Now, something happened, and he ended up eighth.
Okay.
But I was like, if he nailed that in these conditions, that would honestly be more impressive than Plessinger.
Yeah.
Like, to be like, the goal is fifth in the LCQ, and I nailed it, and he was one lap away from doing it in those conditions. I actually thought that was one of the most impressive performances of the day.
Yeah, good job. He jumped onto this is just such a privateer thing. For Daytona, he just jumped on Welton's bike, didn't change suspension or anything, just raced it.
Yeah, he told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, hey, you got a 450 on the truck, can I borrow it?
Yeah. These guys, they don't even, like, I go to Fox Hill last year, me, shitty vet rider. I go to Fox Hill in England, and I buy suspension and ship it with me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, hey, I'm going to try to enjoy myself and have some suspension done by Race Tech. These guys race Daytona, and they just go, ah, fuck it. Yeah, Marshall setting's good. It's just amazing. It's amazing. And then also, what about Del Nicky? You want to tell the Del Nicky story, Weege?
No. Del Nicky. So, people that subscribe to this very podcast network here might have seen the pod that we did with Travis Del Nicky on, what, Thursday, Steve? Del Nicky's a rider from NESC, New England region. I've been having him do some writing for us on the RacerX website. And he was all pumped. I got him a press pass for the weekend. He was going to do Steve's post-race pulpcasts. So I guess he gets the link to fill everything out sent to him. And all of a sudden, Saturday morning, he's like, we got a major problem. I placed a bet on the race earlier in the week, and I've been flagged. And I'm like, oh, bro, I didn't know. I had no idea you were placing a bet on the race. And so he wasn't allowed to have a press pass. Just,
yeah.
And then I talked to Sean Brennan. This is the first person to have this happen.
JT,
these are the rules.
The betting came through, JT.
It did. We finally got one.
Yep. Yeah.
Finally got one. It just literally, it knows your email. Oh, that email. Place the bet. He said, the good news is this year I've doubled my money. And by money, I mean $70. And I'm like, I hope it was worth it.
Yep.
So instead, I did get him a regular ticket. He's not allowed to do any media for the race. He was told he cannot have a byline. You cannot cover anything. You cannot appear that you talk to people in the pits. But he could have a ticket and sit in the stands. So when it was just hellaciously raining, he's just sitting there. And I'm just like, hey, man, gambling will ruin your life. You could have been in the press box right now.
Yep.
But instead, you're sitting in the stands.
I texted on the group text, said, just say no to drugs and gambling, Del Nicky. just say no.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think that gambling thing really mattered. But look at that. It does. Look at that.
So. Yeah. It's as sophisticated as we were told it was. It actually is.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. So, and well,
don't mess with it, everybody.
Yeah.
If
the real
industry pass, don't do it.
The real pain is the no pulpcasts for me. So thanks, Del Nicky. Jerk. All right. We're on to Philly. It's a showdown, right?
It is.
And a day race?
Yep.
Yes.
And a day race. Okay. Weege, are you in? Or what are we? Weege, what's the story?
And not in for Philly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, found it a couple weeks ago. I thought originally I was in for Philly and New Jersey. It will be just New Jersey.
All right.
And then I'll be there in Denver. We'll got about 12 announcers, I think, lined up for your LCQ challenge.
Yeah, I need help from everybody on Friday, so buckle up.
Yeah.
Yeah, should be fun. And then, Philly day race, showdown, exciting. Who's your pick for this 250 East right now? JT, who's your pick right now?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go Hammaker. I like like what he's doing right now.
I'm with you. I go Hammaker. Yep.
I think he's the best guy right now, but I still feel like, I don't know, it's just so unproven. He's so unproven. I know this sounds insane. I just think that all the smoke's going to clear, and it's going to end up being RJ somehow.
if you guys want to keep running the Tim Ferry thing, that's cool for me. I got no problem with that. About the Vial Ferry comparison, yeah, I got no worries with that. We can get Timmy on the broadcast.
You didn't like the comparison, though. I saw that.
Well, I just think it's a little early. We got 5 rounds to go. Like, you know.
Yeah, I think it was more of just like he hasn't won yet, and they were referencing this has happened before. You know.
Yeah, but I feel like he's going to win, right? Like, feel like he's going to win?
I mean, it's one more. He didn't win.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's a little early to start. But, again, happy to get Tim Ferry in there. We could also get him in the booth to where at that point he'll say he doesn't remember 1997. Can't really talk about it. Doesn't know. Doesn't remember. I think his bike was slow. That's what he'll tell you. My bike was slow. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're on to Philly. Not much to talk about Foxborough. So, you know, what are you going to do? Aren't you guys rolling around out there? All time.
Let's check out my Instagram story. I posted a Catch the Fever. It was like after the checkered flag was out, and I think it was the 450 LCQ.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at it. It's just horrific. It's smoking stuck motorcycles all over the place.
Did you guys see Marty's Instagram? JT, did you see Marty's the story he put up?
I did not. No.
Marty, I don't understand. I'll pull it up here. So obviously it was a disaster. The weather made it rough for the teams and everybody else and all of that. Marty says, people have no idea the amount of work every single person goes through to be able to race in these conditions. We deserve better. But, like, everything was good about that until the we deserve better. What do you want, Marty?
What does that mean?
Is this, does God, do the weather gods? Like, what? I don't know, Marty. What are you talking about? We deserve better.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same place you are. We deserve better, like more money, more better conditions.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand that one. Marty, I'll have to guess.
Okay.
I'll have to ask Marty, what do you mean by we deserve better? Like
is he talking to like Mother Nature?
I think so.
Is like a cosmic post?
I think it's to the weather gods. We deserve better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on board with that.
Okay. Sure. Cool. Yeah.
Yep. No problem.
I don't know. I thought that
like
was...
If that's the context, I'm with you.
But was it Feld's fault then? We deserve better if it's Feld?
No, I'm saying if you're just saying it's the weather, like we deserve better weather, that's nobody's fault. Then.
But moving away from the weather gods, does he mean...
If he's saying if it's a track, like what are you going to do? Like, I'm out on that take, if he's talking about the track.
I don't think he's talking about the weather gods. I think he's talking track/Feld. And I'm not sure where that...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know where those guys...
Yeah. Like... What are you supposed to do, man?
We deserve better. Well, Savacci definitely deserved better. He didn't make the main. And Malcolm's transponder didn't work. So I was told that they didn't know they didn't make the main, which again is so AMA. Like, can you guys can totally believe that, right? That Malcolm's transponder is not working. Hey, shit happens. That happens. We're manually score. Cindy's going to manually score Malcolm into the main event. And then no one telling Savacci? I believe that.
Well, I didn't even know this. I didn't see much, but we were on, thanks to the announcing of the great Justin Brayton, on the fact that Mookie, I believe, got third in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
He was hauling ass, making passes. And no matter what, it just said he completed one lap. I'm like, oh, obviously his transponder just stopped working. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize this?
Who?
Somehow they thought he didn't make the main?
Who's they?
Are you saying that timing and scoring thought Malcolm didn't qualify through the heat?
Yeah. He finished one lap. He was dead last.
Right. But they didn't, as you're saying, they did not manually say, no, he actually got third.
No. In the main. It took until 15 minutes after the heat race before that it was corrected. Officially.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought you were saying, like, the LCQ was over or something and they didn't know.
No. But I think they had a whole rush to get down there for the LCQ. Like, they didn't know that they had to race the LCQ. Apparently.
Who didn't have to race the LCQ?
Well, Joey was ninth, and then he got booted to the LCQ.
Oh, I see. Joey didn't know he was getting bumped at the last second.
Right.
I see.
Apparently,
yeah,
no
I
one.
See what you're saying. It should have been done quicker than 15 minutes. Oh, all
and,
right.
And then,
I understand your
And
point
then
now.
Instantly, someone from the AMA should have said, hey, man, be ready because we saw him cross the finish line. Like,
you're probably going to get in and you're probably going to go
yes.
to the LCQ.
Which
yeah,
is,
I see your point now. I didn't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't explain it good enough. Yeah. But yeah, I believe the fact that no one from the AMA told Marty, and maybe Marty said we deserve better. Maybe that's what he means.
Maybe.
I don't know, man. All right.
I hope the off-road guys don't jump into Marty's DMs and tell him that the conditions were fine.
Yeah, exactly. JT, I had to go after the race. I couldn't do the press conference. I had something going on. I had to leave. But Pookie said that you made her laugh on the post-race show. So I watched the interviews, and then I took off with the dog walk or something. Yeah. And then Pookie said that you were like, well, it's still raining. Or something on the post-race show. Or,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I was pretty loose on the post show. I had reached my limit of rain.
Yeah, she said that you were like, hey,
but
guys.
I think I said something like, yeah, it's still raining, so that's a nice change.
That's it. Yeah. She said that made her laugh. Yeah, because I left the TV on, so it's a nice change.
Yeah, glad to hear that.
All right. Well, listen, they can't all be Rembrandts, everybody. And we're on to Philly, so what are you going to do? All right. Anything else, boys?
I think it's a part of the sport, though. I really do. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. But this is a part of it,
yeah,
man. Like,
I agree.
Race mud races. Motocross is motocross. Like, it's a nasty part of it. Expensive part of it, but it's a part of it.
Last year, I was over it, and it was brutal, and stop it, you know, because it was week after week after week. It was really tough last year. But, yeah, once in a while, you're going to get this. And once in a while, you got Southwick you got to deal with. And once in a while, you got a muddy National. And once in a while, you got a muddy Supercross. And, like, yeah, suck it up. You know?
Yep. That's the part of it.
It doesn't make it
That's
exciting.
That's why I get mad about the whole dome rant. That's
yeah.
my point. I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
what do you mean? This is not something new. This is just how it
yeah.
goes.
Go watch Atlanta 83 or Atlanta 82. I mean, just horrific
but
conditions.
Like, also, without this, those were, like, career life-defining moments for, like, Wendell. We never would get that. You would never, ever get that if we didn't have, like, mud races. Kelly Smith winning that Mount Morris race. Like, you're just
easy
never
going to
get
that. Easy on that.
What do you mean? But, like, still, he only won one national, and guess what it was? It was a mud race. Like,
yeah. Should have won more.
I'm not saying Kelly Smith is Gage Wendell, but you get my point.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, mud yeah. races present these scenarios.
Rod Bell's not getting a podium interview every week?
No, that's what I mean. Like, brings us this whole other dynamic that we're not getting otherwise.
Yeah. I'm with you, Weege, on the domes that we talked about this at the top. My point was that we did used to go to more domes, and we don't now for whatever reason, but we did used to go to a lot more domes. And, yeah, whatever. Now we don't.
Yeah, the math says yes, but I just believe there are reasons. And
yeah.
I would hate to go and have a race in – let's flip it. Let's say they go back to New Orleans, and they have a terrible crowd. And it's like, crowd sucked. No one wanted this, but at least we didn't have a mud race. At least we had a roof over our heads. Like, is anyone going to cheer that?
I'd like to go back to New Orleans just for, Bourbon Street, but whatever.
Sure. We would have fun, but I'm saying, like, if you had a race with a dud crowd because for whatever reason that city isn't drawing fans, would anyone be like, yeah, but at least we had a dome, so if it had rained, we would have been good.
Yeah, listen, all the New England, that's a strong area for dirt biking. It's a big, passionate people up there, so...
Yeah. Well, I was impressed that there were as many people there as – I'm not saying the crowd was big at all, but JT and I were standing there about 10 minutes before opening ceremonies, and it looked like there were about 300 people there. And then JT, you made the point. You're like, no, they're all on the concourse. And they did just start, like zombies, just start working their way down. And it wasn't a good crowd by any means, but it was more people there than I expected, considering – I mean, it was also, we didn't even mention, about 40 degrees, too.
Yes, it also looked
terrible.
Cold. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's so cold.
So,
I couldn't feel my feet at all.
Yeah.
Like, 0% could feel my feet.
Did you?
Yep.
Did you
so
toss,
I can't believe that many people were there.
Did you toss the shoes, JT, or no?
I had mud boots.
Oh, mud boots. Okay.
Put them on the truck, yeah.
All right. All right, everybody. That's been the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Use the code PULPMX to save with those guys. Motorsport.com, Maxxis Tires, Renthal, all on board with us. And yeah, we're on to Philly. So that's it. Congratulations.
Are you going this weekend?
Stop it.
No, I'm serious.
Yes, I'll be in Philly. I'll be at the rest of them, sir.
Okay.
I'll be at all the rest
of
them.
not the same without you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I like to think I bring some class to these races.
Well, I'm not going there.
Oh,
but
okay.
I said what I said.
Okay. All right. And we will not see you until till Jersey.
That's right.
All right.
See you then.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Appreciate it. Weege, JT. Thanks, boys.
See ya. Bye.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.